This is Nathan, the California Benches blog. I'm here with Ryan on my left and Matt on the left side of Erica Mendez, who is the voice actor that we're interviewing today. So as we go ahead, let's get started with our questions. First off, I'm a huge fan of Little Witch Academia. The character that you play is Akko. So would you say they have a fun, free-spirited personality just like Akko?
I feel like she's a little bit more imaginative than I am. I'm pretty like basic, I like to think. She likes to have a lot more fun. I kind of keep it a little bit quieter and chill. And she has just so much energy and I'm tired all the time. So I can't totally relate to her, but it's fun getting to step in her shoes and kind of be that for a little bit.
For real, yeah. So how did you like voicing a character like Akko? Because she's like, you know, very free-spiriting. She's, you know.
Yeah. She's so much fun. Like I said, I get to be like someone who kind of isn't like me, which is always really fun part of the job. And I loved the animation before I was even in it, because we dubbed it, I think, months after.
Yeah, I know it came out on Netflix like a couple months before came in, and the show was amazing.
I loved it. I fell in love with it immediately when I watched the Japanese version, so I was honored to be even considered for Akko, so it was kind of a dream come true, really.
Awesome. Yeah. Really cool.
We interviewed you back in 2017, back at SakuraCon. I asked you back then about your reprisal as Yuki when Ordinal Skill came out back then. Given that she came out one more time to see Asuna and help her out again, how does it feel to have that one last certain moment and just reprise her one more time?
Oh, man. That, I wasn't sure was actually going to happen. The director kind of kept teasing me about it because he's like, it happens in the books. But it kind of like seemed like it wasn't going to happen in the anime for a little bit. And then I came back. They called me back in and I had like, I don't know, 10 lines maybe. But it was really cool to kind of step back into that and really just to see if I could do the voice again. Because it had been years since I had originally played her. So it felt like really natural. And then kind of like, you know, just putting your shoes on again, really.
All right. So you voice Emma in The Promised Neverland.
Yes.
Given the events that happened both in season 1 and season 2, and how the core main three, Emma, Ray, Norman, had to be the group to bring them out of the house and get them out of the world, do you feel like ultimately Emma was a liability or an asset to the overall team?
Oh, that's hard because it kind of like comes from perspective, huh?
Yeah.
I think more of an asset because, like, just that feeling of, like, never giving up hope kind of, I think, really stirred something in them. Because I feel like a lot of them would have just kind of given up otherwise.
Yeah.
But having her there to kind of be, like, the beacon, I think, of hope for them really helped kind of made them think a lot more. And even, you know, she's kind of, like, she's smart, but she's, like, the dumb one of the group in some ways. I think she surprised like Ray and Norman a lot with some of her ideas and like, and just how hard she went with some of, like her just, ambition to like get everybody out of there, not just the three of them, or whoever, you know?
Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah. Big story.
But I can see why people would think she'd be a liability for sure.
Okay. Latest role I've seen that you worked with it, that you were in Fate Grand Order as Mash Kirillite. First off, are you a fan of the Fate series before Fate Grand Order came out? And how was it, you know, portraying the voice of the Shield or Mash Caroline.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Fate Zero beforehand. Mm. My boyfriend is actually a voice actor as well, and he voices Waver Velvet, who's nice. My favorite character, coincidentally enough. And or maybe not coincidentally. But so, yeah, I've loved Fate Zero since then. And then I've watched, like, you know, Apocrypha and, mm. and some of Fate Stay. And I play the game. I play Great Grand Order, too. Yes. So it's kind of cool being, like, basically the poster girl of the series.
Pretty much.
So she doesn't usually have too much to say, but I just think she's super cute. And
I know she always keeps saying, like, senpai all the time.
Yeah. I feel that so much. It's really cool kind of, like, see her go from, like, the kind of, like, shy girl when she's in, like, Haldea and stuff, mm-hmm. and then, like, when she becomes her Shielder form, she just opens up more and is just, right. like, tougher, and it's cool to see that juxtaposition of the two sides.
Oh, that's a character Mash, which is pretty awesome to have.
A lot of fun with her.
So, oh, definitely.
It's, like, an honor being part of that series, too, so.
All right, so you also play Megumin and Konosuba. Mm-hmm. Ideally, she just plays a lot of Chunibyo tendencies and, like, deals with a lot of strange names throughout the entire series. Given that, how hard was it to channel that kind of, like, and record those kind of lines, given with all the different strange names and everything else along the lines?
Oh, we usually have, like, you know, the pronunciations that help us a lot with stuff like that. So if I don't know how to say it, then somebody's got to know how to say it, you know? So we just keep doing it until we get it right. But I've watched a lot of anime, and I don't know Japanese necessarily, and a lot of the names are, you know, pretty Japanese-based at the very least, if not just straight-up Japanese. So it's a little bit easier for me to do those, like, kind of, like, knowing the base of it without knowing the actual language. But like, just getting into her, like, Chunie side was always really fun, because I actually had to, like, when she's actually casting spells and stuff, I kind of, like, move my hands in, like, kind of a Chunie way. Because the director also made me do that, even if I wasn't doing it, because he felt like it really helped, too. So just kind of, like, getting into the, like, spell casting was always, like, something that was really fun for me.
Oh, the whole explosion thing, you know, say all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the director was really hard on me with the explosions. We'd always have to, like, top the next one.
And go louder. Yeah, go louder.
Exactly. Like, it was literally, like, grating the explosions, like, in the show. So, but it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with her.
Absolutely.
So, You did Ryoko from Kill la Kill. Looking back at that, how do you feel about the performance now versus back when you first recorded it? Would you like to make any changes to it to make it, to make it a vision that you might have seen now versus back then?
Yeah, it'd be cool. I mean, I kind of got to do it again when we did the video game a few years ago, which was, like, several years after the actual show came out. I was still very new when the anime came out. So I'd definitely go back and change things if I could. Because I know so much more now about, like, taking care of my voice and, like, acting. And so if I could go back, I would. But at the same time, it's, like, hard to say that because it was just so vocally stressful on me. Hopefully I would know how to take care of myself a little bit better at this point.
Yeah. No, definitely. Because there's a lot of, like, screaming moments and a lot of, like, anguish moments. And yeah, that takes a lot of toll on your body and on your voice box.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'd have to take a nap after every session. Oh, man. So much, yeah.
All the screaming just kind of gets you, like, a little knocked out or
does.
Something.
It does. I'm normally a pretty quiet person, so having to do that, like, really took a lot out of me. But we got through it, yeah.
It works.
Speaking of the video game, beyond recording voice lines, I know there was a couple of, like, behind-the-scenes kind of, like, documentaries, like, or at least kind of, like, behind the scenes with the video game, how outside of that, how more involved were you in the game when it came out?
You mean, like, how much say did I have with stuff that happened? I didn't have too much say just because it was a different company that did it. It wasn't Anaplex. It was, what company was it?
Arxis.
Arxis. So they kind of, like, followed the anime, I think, as best as they could to kind of keep things the same between the two universes. Because the video game is more about Satsuki's point of view than it is Ryuko's. But Ryuko still has a big part in it, obviously. But I think the only thing we kind of changed that wasn't, like, specifically in the game at first was the director had the idea to make one of the, like, special attacks, I think, actually have her say, "Don't lose your way." Which is something that I write a lot on, like, people's prints and stuff. And it's part of the song, like, her theme song. But she's never actually said it. So he made that, like, one of her... like kind of like an attack.
That's really neat.
Yeah. So I don't know how to trigger it, but she says it at some point.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Don't lose your way.
Yeah. It was so funny.
So you voice a character from the hit series Love Live as Nico Yazawa, the best out of Muse, I must say. Now, Muse has been pretty much gone since the movie was released a few years ago, but Love Live continues on with Awk Wars and Nijizaki with Layla, the recent Love Live idol group that came out. Have you been following up on Love Live ever since Muse has been pretty much, you know, gone?
You know, they're all so cute and like the songs are really good. I don't keep up honestly like as much as someone who definitely fell deep into idol hell as I did back when Muse was a thing. Just because like it's heartbreaking for me because I miss Muse so much, you know, because I loved them before I was even cast in the show. And I watched the final live and like was bawling as they were like saying their goodbyes basically as they kind of graduated. Or whatever you call it. But so I haven't really looked too much into the new ones. But I think it'd be great if they brought the old ones back and like had them meet the new girls, but I don't know if that'll ever happen.
They do that in like that new Love Live All-Stars
game. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm still catching up on. So to say the least. I mean this is what happens when you go down idol hell. You pretty much like go through each idol game and you're
pretty much.
Just don't follow my path, please.
I'm trying not to. Like I was pretty deep in and I'm trying to like slowly crawl myself out.
So you started voicing Sailor Uranus all the way back, Sailor Moon Uranus all the way back in 2000, and again in 2021, you reprised her role in Eternal. How does it feel like? Did you ever think like you would have this longevity with one character over almost a span of two decades?
No, but that one is a little weird because like I feel like we take so many long breaks, and like between when Uranus and Neptune kind of first appeared in the show when we redubbed it, they kind of took a break more in, like, I think it's Supers. And then they came back for Crystal, kind of with a vengeance. I feel like it were more in that one. And then Eternal happened, obviously, which is, like, a rehash of one of the seasons. I forget which. But I think it's more cool and meaningful for me just knowing that, like, how much of a legacy the show has in general. Because obviously we weren't the first English dub cast, because there was a classic version that was done in Canada. So it's even if I'm not in it quite as much as like say the Inner Guardians are, it's still just cool being a part of such like a big series that means so much to people. Like even people that don't watch anime know what Sailor Moon is, you know, like that's how like widespread it's gotten, I think.
Your role as Bernadetta in Fire Emblem Three Houses contrasted into a lot of your other previous roles as like young girls or top boys, kind of like going on, or at least Top Girl's a Young Boy and other video games and anime. Is there anything about Bernadette that you can identify with, or maybe like the voice roles that you see more in her character type?
As far as like identifying with myself, I keep telling people Bernadette is basically the over-exaggeration of any social anxiety I have. So when she like freaks out and is like, oh man, I wish I were home right now, or like, can I go home? Like, sometimes I feel that. Like, I mean, I'll end up staying in a place because I'm not totally like a social recluse, but there is a lot of like, I just kind of want to be at home and like cozy up like on my couch and like have a cup of tea or something and pet my cats. And that's just a nice feeling, I think. And she goes a little overboard with it, but I could kind of like understand where she's coming from in a way. And she like grows out of that too. I think that's her whole character arc is, She learns to be more accepting of like being around people and talking to people, and she kind of like, you know, relapses a little bit, but I think that's pretty relatable. So the whole game, I thought the characters were just so real and relatable to just anybody, really. You pick a character and I'm sure you know somebody like that.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're the regulatory T cell in the Cells of Work franchise. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised that the show is accurate and relevant to today's climate?
God. I mean, yeah, it was a little scary looking back at it, being like, oh yeah, that we recorded that show. That was the show. I assumed it was like, you know, when I first recorded, I didn't realize how accurate it was until I started looking up more stuff about it. And I was like, oh, wow, they actually like did their research and it's really cool. So I feel like it, in these times, it's definitely like knowing the stuff that I've learned from the show, it's kind of helped a little bit as far as like taking care of myself and taking others and how to stay safe in this time that we're in. So, I feel like it came at the right time. And then they have the second season.
Pretty much during this.
And Code Black as well.
Code Black also came out.
Way more extreme version of it. It's perfect timing, really.
It definitely was, yeah. This is more time to actually learn about what ourselves do.
Yeah, exactly.
You can ask your Squid Game.
You can ask it.
Have you seen Squid Game?
I have, yes.
Okay, so I want to go back to Promised Neverland. Do you think that all the way through?
Yes.
Okay. So, do you think that Emma could actually win? But the thing is that the top three is Emma, Norman, and Ray.
I feel like it would probably be Ray and Norman at the end, kind of like. To be completely honest.
So Emma is bleeding out, and Ray's just like.
Yep. It'd be exactly.
Just keep going.
It'd be exactly like the show went. There'd be no difference.
That
was basically Promised Neverland.
I mean, that was, yeah, I guess.
She get close, but not quite close. I hate to say it, but you know, when it comes to like her, Ray, or Norman, I think someone's got to give. You know,
yeah, someone's got to give, and I feel like. I don't know. It could be any one of those three.
She might surprise you. But
she could be a surprising character. I mean, if you watch Promised Neverland.
Yeah.
So we wrote a podcast, and we did get some fan mail here and there. We did get a request to ask you something, and we were wondering. Actually, they were wondering if you're familiar with the meme, of course. Like, for your fans out there, are we your little pog champ?
I knew that was going to come up at some point. I've seen the meme, but I just in general, like I've had seen people post about it on Twitter, but I'm just kind of like, I don't know exactly where it came from, but it just kind of came out of nowhere one day, and people were like, "Pog Champ," and I'm like, I guess, I don't know. Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
And on that note, thank you for the interview, and it was nice to be talking with you again.
Yeah, you will.
Erica, is there any way that anyone watching can find you online?
Yeah, I'm mainly on Twitter, sometimes it's Instagram. My username, as usual, is Sunderica, which is a dumb pun, because I like Sundares, and my name is Erica, so it's Sunderica. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you
very much for your time, Erica Mendez.
Thank you, guys.